Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Joshua chapter 18. So there they were. Five tribes had received their inheritance and taken it by the tail, but there were seven tribes who were dragging their feet. So chapter 18 opens like this. Verse 1, the whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh to set up the tent of meeting there. The country was brought under their control, but there were still seven Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. So Joshua said to the Israelites, "How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? Appoint 3 men from each tribe. I will send them out to make a survey of the land and to write a description of it according to the inheritance of each. Then they'll return to me. You are to divide the land up into 7 parts. Judah is to remain in its territory on the south, and the tribes of Joseph in their territory on the north. After you have written descriptions of the 7 parts of the land, bring them here to me, and I will cast lots for you in the presence of the Lord our God. The Levites, however, do not get a portion among you, because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to them." As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua instructed them, "Go and make a survey of the land and write a description of it. Then return to me. I'll cast lots for you here at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord." So the men left and went through the land. They wrote its description on a scroll, town by town, in 7 parts, and returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh. Joshua then cast lots for them in Shiloh in the presence of the Lord, and there he distributed the land of the Israelites according to their tribal divisions. The first thing to note here is Joshua isn't having any more hanging around. At this point, he's like a parent who's watching his teenager graduate high school, failing to go to college or get a job, and he wants them out of the house. Maybe this is close to home for you. No pun intended. It's time to get out there and start your life. Time to get it going. Step out in faith and take life by the tail. Joshua's question, therefore, is pertinent. How long will you wait? God has given you the land, all the opportunity. Take it. Take possession of what's yours. Sometimes we can be slow to enjoy what God's given us. Think about it. Spiritually speaking, if the Old Testament believers knew what we've been given today, they would be beside themselves. They'd be blown away. Let me list out some things that would blow their mind. 24/7 access to God through prayer. They wouldn't believe it if you told them. The authority of using Jesus' name when you pray. Say what? Knowing the cross and that all your sins have already been punished, that would be too much for them. How about the Holy Spirit living inside of you? They wouldn't even know what you're talking about. How about the Great Commission, that God would allow you to partner with Him to fulfill His mission? It's kind of like my mentor Peter Jeffrey used to say, God, through the gospel, has set out a feast for us, an amazing spread, but we've been content living off of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Through the Word, listener, it's time to claim those promises that God has given you and live by them. That's why Hebrews was written, by the way. They were a bunch of people who had entered into Jesus, but they hadn't entered into the promises that Jesus brought. In other words, they believed in Him, they were following Him, but they weren't living like sons and daughters. They were living like slaves and servants, groveling in fear before Him, still unable to make the shift from the old way to the new, the one that Jesus earned for them, rather than trying to earn it for themselves. But it wasn't just the Hebrews. Listen to what the Gentiles, the Ephesians, did. They actually believed that they were second-class citizens because they weren't Jews. Therefore, Paul writes to them in Ephesians chapter 1 about their inheritance. In verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for the adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of the glorious grace of His, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. In him, verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You know, the Ephesians weren't living out the inheritance that they had either. Even if someone gives you an inheritance, you still got to come forward and claim it. Maybe that's where you're at today. You're like these people, and Joshua says, how long will you just sit here? Why not just move forward and claim what's yours? When you pray, pray as a son or daughter, not as a groveling servant or slave. When you ask, ask according to God's will. And Jesus said, if you ask, you have the authority of my name. Christ earned all of this for you, and he's given it freely to you. Therefore, he wants you to know it's all yours. Everything that was mine, he says in John 17, I have given to you. Jesus actually says that he loved us with the same love that the Father loved him with before the foundation of the world. The love between the Father and the Son, the Trinity, I can't even fathom how big that love is. And in Ephesians later, Paul says, I pray that you would understand the height, the depth, the width of the love of God, which passes or surpasses all knowledge, that it would blow your mind. That's what Paul is praying, that you would receive the fullness of what's already yours, because Christ wants you to have it. Think about it. If he didn't want you to have it, he would have never made it possible. He wouldn't have gone to the cross for you. And he wouldn't have risen from the dead so that you could believe. Read through Joshua chapter 18 today, and as you do, write down all of the areas that you think maybe are there waiting for you to take possession of, things that the gospel has already delivered, but you have yet to rise up and claim. Thanks for joining us today on Through the Word. I look forward to seeing you in our next chapter, Joshua 19.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.